Anti-Aging and Disease Prevention Radio is right here on Radio MD. Here's author, blogger, lecturer, and national medical media personality, Dr. Michael Smith, MD, with Healthy Talk.
So, you know, traditional medicine is not well equipped to treat PMS symptoms. It's tough because there's no unique physical findings or lab tests to diagnose PMS. And there are some drugs that are marketed out there, but they don't really work well. They have real inconsistent results, and they come with a lot of side effects. So not a lot of good options there. So I want to talk about ways that we can naturally deal with some of the symptoms of PMS. Now, we're going to hopefully be able to get a guest. Her name is Lorna Vanderhaeg. She holds a degree in nutrition and biochemistry, and she's the author of about 11 books, including A Smart Woman's Guide to Hormones and A Smart Woman's Guide to Weight Loss. So I just want to check if we had Lorna on the line. Doesn't sound like we do. So I'm going to go ahead and take this myself. I want to go ahead and, before I do that, let you know that you can visit Lorna Vanderhaeg's website. She has a lot of great free information on treating PMS symptoms. And you can visit her site at www.hormonehelp.com. That's hormonehelp.com. So one of the questions I wanted to ask Lorna, who's an expert in this, is why do some women suffer from PMS and not others? And, you know, I already know the answer to that. Well, you know, let me answer that the way a conventional doctor might answer that, and then the way a more integrative doctor might answer that. The conventional doctor would say, I don't know. And that's pretty much it. The integrative doctor would say is because the normal menstrual cycle of a woman is complicated. There are neurotransmitters involved. There's hormones involved. And every woman is sensitive to those changes as they move from what's known as the follicular phase of the menstrual cycle, which is where estrogen is dominant and the follicle is getting ready to ovulate, into the latter half of the cycle, which is run by progesterone, where ovulation has occurred, and now we're getting ready for pregnancy. If you ever look at a chart of all the different hormones and neurotransmitters that go on during a cycle, it's pretty impressive. There's a lot of things going on. And so that integrative doctor like myself, we look at that and we realize, again, how complicated this is. There's a lot of hormonal changes, neurotransmitter changes going on. And I think the answer why some women deal with a lot of PMS symptoms and some don't is probably related to hormonal imbalances, mostly that some women are a little more sensitive to an estrogen-progesterone balance. We like to see estrogen go up at the beginning part of the cycle, and it should start to taper off, and progesterone should increase into the second part of the cycle. There should be a nice little balance of that. When that's lost, especially as a woman gets older, that's when a lot of PMS symptoms can enter in. In my own experience, when I look at symptoms and I relate them to hormone levels, for me, it seems to be there's this estrogen-progesterone balance, like I just said, but if the estrogen stays up too long, or the progesterone doesn't increase in that second phase of the cycle, it develops this idea called estrogen dominance, and that seems to be where a lot of the PMS symptoms come in. I was just told we got Lorna on the line. Lorna, are you there?
I am.
So sorry about all that. I'm glad you finally made it to us.
I am.
So listen, I've talked to... Yeah, it's okay. I talked about you. I plugged your book. I got your website going. You're all done. You can just sit there. No, I'm just teasing. I was right in the middle talking about why some women suffer from PMS and not others. And I was just about to ask this question to the audience. I'll let you handle this. Do we really know of any risk factors for women dealing with PMS? Oh, looks like we just lost her again. We're just having a hard time. That's okay. It's live radio, right? We just got to roll with it. So there are some known risk factors. There are certain nutritional and dietary deficiencies that are linked to PMS. And again, if you go check out hormonehelp.com, you'll find a whole bunch of free. That's what's really cool about Lorna Vanderhaeg. She has not only those 11 books, but over 4,000 pages of free information at hormonehelp.com. And in there, you can read about certain nutritional deficiencies and dietary deficiencies that are linked to PMS. You know, for instance, we know women that tend to eat more of the sugary grains, for instance, at breakfast tend to have a higher rate of PMS symptoms. We know that certain mineral deficiencies, magnesium, manganese, even copper, are associated with certain PMS symptoms. So yeah, we do believe that there are some risk factors, and they probably relate mostly to diet and nutrition. And so when a conventional doctor, if you're dealing with PMS and you go into a conventional doctor and they don't either know the answer or they just give you the standard answer, oh, it's your hormones, of course you're feeling that way, don't accept that. I encourage you to go check out hormonehelp.com and read about some of the nutritional and dietary deficiencies that we do believe are risk factors for PMS. So, you know, what I wanted to do with Lorna is I wanted to look at common symptoms. And I have to be careful with how I say that, because I know that, again, every woman is different with this. Some have more severe symptoms than others, and I'm obviously not going to be able to cover all of the symptoms, but I do want to offer some natural approaches to some of the more common symptoms that come from surveys. And these are simply doctors getting together saying, all right, if you have PMS, tell me your symptoms. And so we're able to list them out, and we're going to quickly give you some natural suggestions for some of these most common ones. The first one, and at the top of the list, was joint or muscle pains. I just did a segment for Radio MD on how tart cherries can help with muscle pain. Now, most of the research with tart cherries are associated with post-exercise. However, I do believe understanding how tart cherries are modulating inflammation. There are really strong antioxidants called polyphenols within tart cherries that help to regulate pain receptors, inflammatory pathways. You know what? I got to tell you, I think it's going to help here too. Now, you could do tart cherry extracts and stuff in juices, but I really think it needs to be a capsule, about 1,200 milligrams a day, and it's safe to do every single day without any side effects. Headache or backaches, you might want to consider the original aspirin, white willow bark. White willow bark has the salicylates, which is where we get the aspirin from, but it's natural and it's easier on the stomach and works really good for the headaches and the backaches that are very common. So I do like that. You know what works well too is a combination of an adaptogenic herb like ashwagandha or American ginseng in combination with white willow bark to help with the headaches and backaches. And again, these are good for you anyways, right? The adaptogenic herbs are going to apply to some other symptoms like the mood swings, the irritability, the tension. Adaptogenic herbs are awesome for that. So if you're dealing with headaches and mood swings, maybe what you need to focus on are the things like ashwagandha, rhodiola, American ginseng. Those are my three favorite herbs that help us to deal with stress. They help to balance cortisol, and they're going to help, I do believe, with some of these PMS symptoms. What I do want to say one little word of caution about rhodiola. If you've never taken it before, I would suggest that you do about half the normal dose. And I don't remember the dose offhand, but whatever product of rhodiola you buy, maybe do one every other day for a while. It can stimulate some people, but that does kind of taper off, and then you can do it every day, and it is good for you. Trouble sleeping is another one at the top of the list for a lot of women. There's new time-release melatonins that are available. Those seem to be working really well for a lot of people. And then maybe a combination of something like lemon balm and a time-release melatonin, I think, really can work well. Lastly, the swollen and tender breasts, you might want to get your hormones checked. Think of that estrogen dominance, and you might simply need more progesterone in the second half of your cycle. So there's just some suggestions to deal with some PMS symptoms. This is Healthy Talk on Radio MD. I'm Dr. Mike. Stay well.